Welcome to Let Me Know How It Is, a pop culture podcast about animation, TV, movies, and more. To me, my X-Men, we are talking X-Men 97, the relaunch of the classic animated series that Marvel is bringing back in 2024. I'm Clifton.
I'm Frank Melman.
And I'm Zach Slater.
In anticipation of the release next week of the Disney Plus series, we are going to share what we are anticipating about it based on what we know so far, which is basically just the trailer and some news and updates that came out along the way. Now, there was just some news about a creator's departure ahead of the premiere, but there are no details about that, so we won't be speculating anything about that. All right, so this animated series, X-Men 97, which will be the direct continuation of the classic 1990s Saturday morning cartoon that ran from 92 until 97. Is that correct?
It ran five seasons, so that sounds correct.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
This was first announced in November of 2021, and we just recently saw the animation for it for the very first time. So that's been in development and production. Makes sense for animation, but that does seem like a long time to formally announce something before seeing anything. 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I may have doubted that it was coming, but...
Well, this is the issue. This is the issue when, like, they announce it when it's basically greenlit, and then right. It takes them 2 years to draw the thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's quiet and people kind of forget about it.
True.
And, you know, I saw stills from the toys that were coming out for this, and tie-ins were leaking before I think any stills of the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Lego set was definitely out.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Before.
I mean, it's just like, it's something that's come up in past episodes. And I mean, like, we could do a whole show on just like the rollouts of animated stuff and the pros and cons of it.
And the Marvel Legends were going to be on wave two of the X-Men retro stuff before we get an episode, I believe. So
did we get the released teaser still image before we got a trailer for this one? Like they often do in animation.
I think that there was maybe like three or four stills that came out like the week before, like officially.
Okay. But just recently.
Seeing that they were going with the Magneto's M, like he's from Riverdale costume.
That's right.
He's got the Letterman costume. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a while ago. That's mm-hmm. right. I forgot we saw that long ago. That's
okay. Right.
So that was the thing I remember seeing from the teaser stuff was that era of X-Men is what they're doing. Got it. Okay. Cool. But yeah, I'm trying to think I like the trailer. I like the trailer the way it was set up. Basically, we're picking up exactly where we left off. At least is what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you were the one that texted about the fact that it looked, was it you who said that it it looks like it was a mix of then and now animation wise.
Yeah, that was me. It's not uncommon to get something like this, mm-hmm. right? It's like it's a revisit of something that has been out, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, something like that. And for animation, for me, like I'm a big stickler on like trying to make it look as much as you can like the thing it was, which is very, very hard because oftentimes like those animation studios aren't around. Those artists aren't around. Right.
The
like,
technologies mm-hmm. aren't even still in
the
use.
Technology's not around. The style's evolved. Many, many, many reasons why it's not really feasible to do that. But I think it's nice, especially for something like this. Like you said, that it looks like it's picking up, quite frankly, where the last episode ended.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, I think, to be able to like watch that one and watch this and have it look kind of similar. And I think they kind of nailed it for being such a strange style that wasn't like really done here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, I'm not throwing shade at it. It was just like, it's just, you know, it's a tough style to do it. It's a tough style you don't see anywhere.
Right.
And I think they, you know, certainly updated it and, you know, made it look nice for like HD and stuff, which wasn't around then.
Right.
But, you know, it looks like the old show, I think.
Right. Which is funny because like a lot of the old show was limited on budget. I mean, they were doing great work with limited budget, but you compare it to like some of the other shows. There were better looking animated shows at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just like imagining how much money they are throwing at the show now to make it look like a low budget show from the 90s.
Right.
Like, that's the irony of it to me, is how much money is going into this version to make it look like something that did not have that much money spent on it.
Yeah.
Decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting experiment, to be sure.
Whatever they're spending on it, though, I think they nailed it. I think it does look really, really good visually. You know, I like the trailer too. I haven't done a serious like beginning to end rewatch on X-Men in a long time. I mean, it was a really important show for me as a kid. Like, we were all thrilled when it was coming out.
Right.
You know, like I think I told a story before. Like, you know, I taped the pilot when it came out, and there was like, you know, at one point there was like, I think 9 kids in my house, like all watching it in that afternoon. And that was like probably the fourth time I'd seen it that day.
Right.
So it was a big deal when we were kids. So I have kind of like a funny opinion about it now. I've watched some of it since, but not all of it, like I said. And my feeling is that like, it's not as good as people remember it to be.
Right.
Okay.
But that said, it's also certainly not as bad as people remember it to be either. Like, I think it's much stronger than I think the people that poo-poo it would remember. I mean, there's some episodes where I'm just like, that's pretty sophisticated stuff right there. And that's a pretty like chat for a Saturday morning to do like time travel in that way. You know, it's kind of clever and, you know, makes the most of, like you were saying, Clifton, like limited budget. Limited right. animation budget,
yeah.
You know?
I remember it being, like, I remember watching, like, I want to say all the first season, and then watching it sporadically over time. Like, I'd see a commercial for, hey, we're doing, you know, the Phoenix Saga, or one of those bigger event, and I'd come in for a couple episodes, or, you know, there's an episode with Nightcrawler or something, and I'd pop in to check out that, and be like, oh, that's cool, and then go back to not watching it for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe it was just, again, we're talking the days before the internet and DVRs and, you know, having to set a VCR and having to make sure that it was set properly and, you know, no one changes the channel to miss it. So, I mean, I remember enjoying the show and liking what I saw, but at the same time, it was not, I don't know what it was that I just didn't want to, I didn't, it might have been, because we're talking around the same time as Batman the Animated Series, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were on so, concurrently.
So it might have just been, you know, at the time I preferred Batman and was that was more my focus at the time. Not that I didn't love X-Men. I just was kind of like, all right, X-Men's, you know, I enjoy the X-Men, but not enough to keep watching the show.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it was again, one of those things where I remember moments, I remember episodes, but I've never done a full watch of the entire thing. So I have that moment of like, do I need to rewatch this entire series before the end of March, before this comes out, to get the full enjoyment out of the new series? Because I want to watch the new series. It looks good.
Yeah.
So.
No, I do think it looks good. To get into the trailer, I think I do think it looks a little heavier than I think. I mean, that show tackled death.
Right.
You know, certainly like in the first episode, really.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
traumatized kids, man.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Morph.
Who's back? And I mean, that was the thing I remember. Like, I mean, I think I've said it on the show too. Like, when those commercials came out for season two, which for me as a kid, I remember being a pretty big gap between season one and season two. And I remember I ran to my mom and said, like, Morph is in season two. Like, I was excited, you know? But that's it. Like, I don't remember him being in the last episode, but there he is in the shot at the end of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess like he did make it like all the way to the end.
Right.
So that was kind of the surprising thing that, you know, like I said, like, I mean, it's been ages since I've seen the last episode.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I've ever seen it wrap up. So I will have to watch that, at least that previously on X-Men part to see to see where it left off, to get my own version of previously on X-Men. Because it was one, like, I watched it a lot. I was very excited early on, and I watched it pretty regularly. But for some reason, I don't know if it was just age or what, but like the nostalgia didn't stick with me on this one to the point where like, I remember liking it. I remember like good episodes I like, but the reverence that many people have for it.
Yeah.
Just never stuck with me compared to other shows. So yeah, I just looked at it a little more through less rosy lenses, I would say.
Right.
So when they announced this, 3 years ago almost, I wasn't sure if I'd be that interested in it. Just wasn't, because I'm like, yeah, I was like, okay, I kind of left that show in the past. It just didn't have that soft spot for me like many other things. But watching the trailer, I'm definitely intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole experiment of it all, like you were saying, like that they're trying to capture the style of it, the style, the flavor of that time.
Yeah,
of Saturday morning, 90s Saturday morning animation, put you back in that place, and that era of X-Men, even where I feel like they're looking at this and they're not exactly looking at like what would be cool now to do an X-Men, though I'm sure that is part of it, but they're also heavily looking at like what would we have thought was cool in the 90s.
Yeah,
and let's do that.
Yeah,
because that'll keep the spirit of it better. Not like what our favorite current version of X-Men is, but like what would we have thought was cool back in the mid 90s? Like what would we have loved to have seen when we were kids on that show? Yeah. And I am fascinated by that aspect of this whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I think what catches me about it too is it feels, at least from the trailer, it feels sincere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've seen attempts at this sort of thing, you know, like Batman 66, the comic and all those other, like none of those things, those all kind of feel kind of sardonic.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense,
kitschy,
you know what I mean?
Like
you're into it, but you're kind of doing it with a wink. Let me really exaggerate it as much as possible. And I don't get the feeling from that, from the trailer. I do hope that they have the patience to not, like try and go for as many laughs for 90s technology today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't really have much appetite for like CD player jokes and you know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
And like a phone that's the size of a shoebox.
Yeah. Yeah. Like stuff like that. I would say like steer away from that stuff as much as possible.
But I'm hoping, again, not to keep harping on Batman the Animated Series, I'm kind of hoping they go with the idea of, yeah, there's technology, but it's not as current as you want it to be, but yeah, we're gonna have stuff that we can do that's not, you know, like Batman the Animated Series had Zeppelins which was you know, like what the police use. I'm hoping that's the kind of approach they take. It's the near future for them, and they have stuff a little ahead of what they would have had things. And I don't care if it's anachronistic or not. I really don't care.
Right.
You know, as long as it serves story, who cares? I'm just more interested in where they are in their timeline, if that makes sense. Because again, I don't really know that last shot of Xavier, and then with the trailer, like I'm like, oh, okay, so they left it there. But again, the telltale clue for me, of course, is like I said, Magneto's costuming. Says, you know, if you're unfamiliar with that time, you're talking about issue 200 of Uncanny X-Men.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is about right where I jumped into the comics as a kid.
Right. So you're talking just around the time of what, Romita Jr.?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, John Romita Jr. and Chris Claremont are on the book, and that's a good run. But I think about, you know, there's a fight with basically Magneto's on trial for past crimes, right? That happens. And we get a quick cut of Magneto looks like before the United Nations in this, which I don't know what that's about, they're going to adapt that fully.
Right.
I don't really know what happens with Xavier in the series, the animated series. I know in the comic, he's not doing well. He's sick. And then his space girlfriend, Lalandra, shows up. The Queen Majestrix of the Shi'ar Empire shows up and says, listen, I can fix you, but you got to come with me. So, but at the same time, we're getting shots of a grave. So I don't know which way they're going with it.
Can I say something? It's a spoiler thing. Clifton and Mike.
Okay.
Is that cool? That's how the episode, that's how the last episode ends.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah. That's how the last episode ends.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So again, I don't know. I don't, I don't know. But again, like when I said the coffin, I was like, well, does he fully die?
So that's the intriguing thing. And it took me a minute, too, when I saw it, because like I just sort of like remembered the ending that way. And then I thought like, oh, wait a minute. But like he doesn't.
Yeah.
Die.
Right.
At the end. Like you don't see him die. Like he goes off into space with the Shi'ar mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But I guess it happens
right
after that, you know. I mean,
it could always be, you know, a flashback to another. There's plenty of dead X-Men, so it could be a flashback to one of their deaths, you know, in the meantime, in the ensuing time or whatever. But yeah, and then as a result, you have this whole thing with Magneto and the whole like the teaser, the stinger at the end of, you know, you can hear the organ music dun, 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 of Everything Belongs to Me Now. What that means, I'm not going to tell you what exactly it means in the comics because I don't want to spoil it if that's what they're going with, but it's an interesting time for X-Men. I'll put it that way.
Right, right. I like that the X-Men all come in their basketball gear.
Yep. I like the
straight from the backyard.
The Jean Grey as a ref was a nice bit.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Ref. Yeah. Like that's, it was so weird because like, in our group chat, before the trailer came out, like I was just telling you guys, I'm weirdly like looking at a lot of pictures of 90s X-Men for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that was one of them. I was saying like in issue four, right,
you're saying like all the Jim Lee stuff.
The Jim Lee stuff in issue four, which is the first appearance of Omega Red. There's a bit in there where like Wolverine and Gambit and Rogue and Jubilee are playing basketball. And I love that sequence. And the designs they use for that, I mean, for the four of them is straight from that book. And they just make it bigger and give Cyclops a design and Gene and whoever else is it, Beast, Bishop, I think. So I'm thrilled at that. I think that that's cool. And that's one of the things I've noticed since is that like there's a lot of iconic Jim Lee stuff that they're doing sort of in that design, which puzzles me a little bit because, I mean, that's the Jim Lee roster, certainly, right. I remember. But it's like, it's not like Jim Lee wasn't a big deal then. He was a very big deal then. But it's funny to me now that they're going like so hard into like, this is the cover of, like X-Men 11. Like,
Right.
Bishop gets a haircut. That's interesting. He doesn't have the mullet. He doesn't have the mullet. And I'm like, okay.
So
like,
that's a change.
Yeah, it's a change. I love Bishop, but I'm like, and I know he doesn't have that now, but I'm like, right. I think I would have kept it. I think if I was on the show, I would have fought for it.
Yeah. The more mullets, the better in this show.
Yeah. Like the bit of Gambit jumping on Wolverine's back.
Sort of a fastball special.
Yeah. He charges his claws though, which I had to like. I looked at a couple of times. Like, how's that? Like, is he gonna blow off his hands? Like,
yeah, it's fine. They'll grow back. It's fine.
Yeah, but it looked cool. You know, you guys know I love Gambit. I'll never apologize for that.
No, that was a cool bit. I have a feeling that's not. I my first thought was when I saw it, that bit was, oh, this is cool, but this is Danger Room stuff, right? They're in the Danger Room in this scenario. Oh, that's what I thought.
It could be.
You know, they're trying something out. No, I'm excited. I always like the as you've talked about. I do like the softball games or when they have downtime. It's fun.
Yeah,
because you get good character bits out of that if you get a decent writer on it.
Right.
What else is it? The other thing I thought about was interesting with the trailer was the bit with the newspaper, like the New York Times. Right, it's New York Times, the New York Post, right? That's the thing. It looks like sort of like a New York Post headline about a mutant fashion show.
Oh.
Which, really? Again, is while it isn't something that we had before, it is very modern in the Krakoa.
Right, it is current X-Men ideas.
Yeah, era. That and,
The gala.
Yeah.
Right, the gala.
Yeah.
They mentioned that.
Cool idea.
And then also I'm guessing we're going to get, we'll get some version probably of Jumbo Carnation, the mutant fashion designer and all that stuff, which is great. I'm all for that. What else has been talked about? But again, I it's one of those things where are we gonna get a 5-minute previously on X-Men bit for people who haven't watched or
put out like a whole what are they, the Marvel Legends on Disney Plus where they everything you need before a movie. That'll be your previously on X-Men.
Gotcha.
They make like a recap version for one of those.
That could work.
Because, yeah, there's a lot of story. I mean, it's X-Men. It's a soap opera. There's a right. lot of stuff to catch up on if you're going to try to jump in on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you haven't watched it in 25 years, like me.
Yeah. Five seasons. I mean, at least, I blank a little bit on the later ones. But I remember, like, the first two or three seasons, like, really, really strongly. And I mean, like, I mean, heavily serialized. I mean, it was almost like to be continued every episode.
Right.
For first season. I mean,
That's why I so vividly remember previously on X-Men.
All that to say, like, I'm excited about it. I think, and it hit me just at the right time. Like, this show is what made me an X-Men fan. You know, I'm one of those that, like, you know, I typically find my characters in animation first, and then I go to the comics that way. But so there was a period where I was into the show more than Batman, the animated series. But over time, that was sort of like that flipped.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just at the age a little bit where I started to see, I'm like, oh, okay, I think Batman, the animated series is, you know, it has a little bit more craft attached to it as far as you know, production quality and stuff like that and everything. And I started to realize that as I was watching X-Men. And so I tapered off a little bit towards the end, but I stuck around the whole time, you know? So, I mean, so I do have a lot of fond memories of the show and I am excited about it. And I don't think I'm the only one. I mean, my understanding is the trailer's doing really well. I mean, I think as far as animation, anything on animation goes, like it's been like the best, you know, performing trailer that Disney's put out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that includes What If or not. I assume it does because it's an animation.
I think it does. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a big hit.
Right.
You know, so it does make me curious, like, what's down the line? Like, are they going to see this and be like, let's, like, all right. Spider-Man 95.
Yeah.
Like,
I gotta figure that's next.
Yeah.
There's definitely been reaction we saw as soon as they dropped the trailer. Reaction all around.
Right.
From different crowds. Some not happy with the Friends of Humanity. I guess they forgot they were in the series before because they'd always been there, which were the, like, paramilitary protesters protesting mutants. So we've gotten lots of the conversation of X-Men is woke and X-Men's and the counterpoint of X-Men's always been woke.
Right.
Oh, really? I didn't catch any of that stuff.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. There's definitely been a lot of conversation when this trailer first dropped.
I had no idea. Really? So people saw the Friends of Humanity and they were like, why are they putting them in here?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're heavily in season two.
Right. I guess they forgot about them or think they represent, you know, something now that they don't like it being woke, in their words.
Right. Mm. Well, along with that, there's also pushback about Morph too.
Right. What was that change? Cause I only had picked up some of this conversation
I guess it's Morph has been is in the new series or in the continuation is going to be non-binary.
Okay.
And a lot of people are upset because Morph apparently, again, I've not watched the entire series, so I can't say, but had always presented as male, but it's one of those things of you're dealing with a character that shape, you know, changes shape, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not something that's it's not an issue for me in the least. I don't really care.
Right.
But it's one of those things where, I mean, I know more from this series, but I know more from Exiles.
Right.
The Judd Winnick book.
Okay, which follows on after Age of Apocalypse, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, where basically you're picking up, you know, various characters from the multiverse, and they're doing stuff throughout the multiverse, and it's got Blink and the with Nocturne, the daughter of Scarlet Witch and Nightcrawler, and other characters that are not, you know, that we don't necessarily see in the main MCU or in the main Marvel universe, I should say. But it's been a lot of people who are upset over it, you know, saying I don't understand why they had to do this to this character, blah 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 blah.
Right,
you know. Again, it's saying, well, it makes more sense that it'd be someone like Mystique or something like that. But it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's certainly, it's definitely like if it's a character that's a shape changing character, it makes sense to me. It does make.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Right. That's what I was thinking. Like the power set certainly leads you to go like, all right.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Like, so
Have they also, did they put out a different design for Morph as well?
He's got, I mean, it looks more like they're going, instead of having the Morph dark, like he looks sort of, I don't know, like the Caucasian guy with the moppish hair looked like normally. And then, they're going more with the look of, like, he's, you know, in regular X-Men, like his costuming, and then he has the kind of blank white face that he had in Age of Apocalypse or in Exiles.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was the Age of Apocalypse design, that more so than the original animated design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Because I remember my cousin was reading Age of Apocalypse. He was like, Morph is in this comic, and I'm like, mm-hmm. oh. And I remember I saw like the blank face.
Right.
And I was like, that's weird. Like, like, you know, because I was expecting how he looked in the show, which he just looks like a guy.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, so no, I did see a lot of pictures of Morph that tends to have the design of Age of Apocalypse. And I guess he looked like that in Exiles, too.
He had like a full costume and a cape, and he was, you know, he was
okay.
He shape changed all the time. I mean, to me, it's one of those things where, if you're having this character that's going to be non-binary, it doesn't, if that's that's the route they're taking, it's one of those things where I just don't get the controversy. Especially for something where X-Men is such a vehicle for, we accept the outsider, we accept we're supposed to accept people who are not necessarily like us.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's been that way since the 60s, right? It's not new.
It's always changed to their allegorical for,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that they're allegorical for an outsider has always been the consistent.
Yeah, of course. You know, and that's been a thing, and you know, there's been countless people who have said, oh yeah, I felt like an outsider in my life for being gay or being a person of color or being, you know,
Jewish,
trans, you know, I mean, just on and on and on, you know, and throughout the X-Men's fandom, that again, it to this be your stumbling block again, to not accept this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that to me is where I get that people get territorial about characters and they don't necessarily like changes, but this is not something that to me that seems like would be so outside outside what this character might feel or act, you know, it doesn't seem that bizarre to me.
It feels pretty natural to me. I think.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, you know, I can understand a shapeshifter would have that kind of, you know, mentality.
Sure.
It lends itself kind of perfectly to it.
Yeah. I mean, I when I first saw the design, I was like, oh, that's cool. They're going with more with like I said, the Exiles, Age of Apocalypse looking Morph. And then when I heard there's a controversy about this, I was like, what's the, that's why. Like, that's the, no, it makes sense.
Right.
It lends itself to it.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be, you know, quite this kerfuffle over something that.
Right. But yeah, there's definitely been reactions. There's been reactions that I've seen. Reactions and reactions to reactions are what I've seen online from it. But just to close out, like, what's something you're really looking forward to in this show? Something you want to see back, maybe you haven't seen in the trailer.
Besides Gambit?
Besides Gambit in a tank top playing basketball.
Or right.
Yeah. Right.
Was Hanging with the Boys, is that the song from Top Gun?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Frank. Oh, you just stumbled on something.
I put it together for you. Served it right up. Here you go. Enjoy, Zach.
I've always liked Rogan Gambit's relationship. I'm curious to see where the comics today will inform that show. And just say it's in 97. You know what I mean? Because Rogue and Gambit are married now in the books. And I'm curious if that's factored into their creative decisions in any way.
Right.
As something to build towards. Mm-hmm. You know, I also think that for me, a pretty important creator that's come since the show was Morrison.
Right.
And I'm really interested to see, you know, if we're going to see, like the Emma Frost stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Right. You know,
that's
a big thing. You know, she didn't have a ton of presence in that show.
Right.
But, you know, like, who's the guy from Riot at Xavier? Quentin Quire. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of cool characters that came out of Morrison's run. So I'm curious to see, like, who's going to be, like, in the periphery.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to go three seasons to get to X-Men 2000. And then we'll get more stuff.
Cassandra Nova.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But could happen. Would be cool to see. Would be cool to see like their 90s, like them through the 90s animation filter. I'm excited. We did see a Sentinel hand, I think, in the trailer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On display, like being dissected or something. I couldn't quite tell what was happening, but man, I'm looking for it. Like, I love Sentinels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love giant purple death robots. giant purple bigoted death robots, as I always call them. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, like, you know, a good 90s Sentinel attack.
Yeah. Animation's a good spot for it too.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Just because they can look like the Sentinels, you know? There's like
they don't have to be anything they're not, just giant purple robots.
Yep.
Frank, you got anything?
I got a couple things, actually. I want, since we're going where we are in their timeline, I want Psylocke.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I want, and I don't mean the purple headed samurai one. I want Betsy Braddock
back
when she first appears. Right. I want Dazzler. Because
they did do Quanon Psylocke, right?
Did they?
They did. They did an Apocalypse four parter. I think it's called Between Good and Evil.
Okay.
Pretty cool episode. Yeah, I mean, there's something with there's a plot thread with like a lot of telepaths in that, and I think Psylocke made her first appearance in the show in that arc. We'll say I'm trying to figure the word
right.
Yeah,
but there's stuff to do with good old Betsy Braddock before and after that version. So,
and I'd like to see leg warmer Dazzler if we haven't got that already.
Yeah,
I'd like to see her Allison Blair making an appearance.
Yeah, I think she's only been in a couple of like throwaway shots.
Okay,
I don't know that.
Does she have the headband?
Oh, I can't remember.
And then I'm also curious to see if we're going to go to Australia, because again, I don't know how far we're going to go, how far they're going to get in this first season of X Men stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we didn't talk about this. This is real quick. What Summer's Jean Grey baby are we talking about?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
That's the other thing. Like, that's which kid are we talking about? Which one is this? So there's that. That's a whole big mystery, in of itself.
Right.
So that reveal will be something I'm looking forward to as well.
Right. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Who's it going to be?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Give me Strife. I want Strife.
Sure, we'll get that too.
So much 90s.
He was my first X-Men toy. Nice.
Did you cut your hand on him?
Oh yeah, no, it was tricky.
He's sharp.
Yeah.
All right. So that is our thoughts on the return of the X-Men in X-Men 97. You can check out all of our past episodes on letmeknowhowitis.com. Find us on social media if you want to tell us what you're looking forward to in X-Men 97. Just any of your thoughts on the trailer, what you've seen so far. Or if you have any episode ideas, you can email them to us at info@letmeknowhowitis.com. So we will see you next time. And as always, thanks for listening.